Yeah, I mean, honestly, from the beginning, I had a little bit hard time to actually really accept the three lines there as actual, like, full-on logical, watertight reasons, and obviously a lot of people share that sentiment. And so I was kind of, amazed and in a sense relieved and to see that, the Eighth Kammapa is basically launching a full-on attack and saying these reasons don't prove at all that sentient beings do have Buddha nature, and they also don't prove that sentient beings are Buddha nature either. So he goes in that whole spiel of, Yerpa and Yinpa and Mepa and Minpa in Tibetan logic, So he says they neither apply in terms of Yerpa existence nor in terms of Yinpa, like being something. And I found that fascinating. And as I said before, he also has this stance, that sentient beings are the obscuration. So from that point of view, too, he says sentient beings cannot possess Buddha nature, because it would be like saying clouds possess the sky. And then also he, so, and that flipped my understanding around totally, because when we think about what does it mean all sentient beings do have Buddha nature, then I think most people, when they hear that, I mean, of course, it sounds good, right? I mean, who wouldn't like that? But then what does it actually mean? And I think when you ask people, just in terms of what does that feel like for you, then I think for most people it is okay, Buddha nature is something within my body, somewhere, right? Like maybe at the heart or whatever. But what does that mean? Like when you think about it, this means your Buddha nature is not even as big as your body, it's something smaller, right? Which is kind of defeating the whole purpose of, limitlessness. So, and I think it's to flip it around is actually, I think, very profound. So, and also later then I found that in some texts too, which actually say that explicitly, that it's not that Buddha nature exists in sentient beings, but it's the other way around. Sentient beings exist in Buddha nature, which first sounds kind of strange, but then when you think about it, I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's also really profound, and it can turn around your view completely. So the example is more like sentient beings exist like clouds within the vast sky, like gloomy little clouds who don't look outside of them, just see their own little whatever. And so then when the clouds dissolve, then that's basically the larger reality of Buddha nature. So, and I think I understand the verse in that sense. And actually, when you look at the Uttara Tantra, you can find that too, because it talks a lot about space, like using that example, and that similar to the world arising in space and the perishing, the skandhas also arise within the space of Buddha nature. So it actually says that, right? Like Buddha nature is the bigger thing, and then the sentient being is the small thing in there. So when you hear all sentient beings have Buddha nature, I think it's a provisional statement in that sense. It's not literally that sentient beings possess Buddha nature or even are Buddha nature. Buddha nature is much bigger. And I think those three lines, they can be understood more as indications or pointing fingers to that, rather than being, watertight reasonings where the three modes apply and the Kammapa goes through the whole thing and defeats every of those three modes, like in Tibetan debate style. But I still think it's helpful because it can be inspirational. And when you think about what these three lines mean, it looks at Buddha nature from different points of view, like from the point of fruition, that would be the first line, Dharmakaya, like Buddha-kaya, it's all pervasive or radiates. And then the second one is it's the same in sentient beings and Buddhas, which means it doesn't change. And then the third was in terms of sentient beings, it's a potential, but not, at least from the disclosure model point of view, not something that actually grows, but it's something to be revealed. So if you look at it from that point of view, then if you really want to go deeper, I think that's a helpful way to think about it. And also kind of, blow your mind in a good way, because then Buddha nature is not that little thing existing somewhere in your body or whatever, or in your five skandhas. It's actually much bigger. And then in terms of practice, also that means that practice is not about finding something in your five skandhas, that little treasure pearl there, but it's actually stepping out of your five skandhas into the vast space without the clouds.